Well, turn with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 4, chapter 4, and verses 9 and 10. Before we read that, Mickey, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your reading, Lord. We have an open heart to take in from your word. So maybe a shine light for you, Lord. May others see Jesus in us. I ask you, Lord, to his brother Andy, lay words upon him, his tongue.
Amen. All right, let's look at our two verses of Scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the Lord of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, are a couple of those books that Christians try to avoid reading. You know, it's one you kind of steer away from. Because along with a lot of people try not to steer away from Numbers. People don't like to read Leviticus. But they're hard books to read because there's a lot of information packed into those things. And you think the book of Numbers. Why would God have these in the Bible? There's a lot of reasons, you know, that they're there. And the purpose for each and every one of these books that we have. Numbers gives us a lineage, genealogy of the tribes of Israel. These names tie most of the history together, along with families and the tribes involved, or that are involved in what's going on. So Numbers is important because it gives us a foundation of the tribes and the people that came into the Promised Land and were the early parts of the Israelites. Leviticus gives us a lengthy study into the laws and the customs and the religious and social order. Leviticus sometimes is very difficult to read, isn't it? You know, with a lot of the different laws. And it shows us very significantly how they did their sacrifices and why they did them and when to do them. That's important for us to understand. It gave us feast days. It gave us purification. It gave us what to eat and what to touch and what not to eat and what not to touch. I think one of the things in Leviticus that I like, it gives us an idea of all the laws and all the traditions and all the sacrifice, all narrows down to one sacrifice, which was Jesus. All of that comes down to just who Jesus Christ is. But Leviticus has all the different things in. Now we come to Chronicles. Chronicles gives us a kingly descent of the king's actions, their duties, and whatever the king did. You see in the book of Kings, both 1 and 2, and then also in Chronicles 1 and 2, of what they did. And it was a history lesson of what was going on in both Israel and Judah. Which makes this whole story interesting. Because you've got this king did this, this king, this king, this king, this king, and on the way down and down and down and down about all the different things the kings throughout their history did. But here we have it in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 and 10. It throws a big curve into what's going on. It's not about history. It's not about a ruler. It's not about ruling. It's including the descendants of Judah, like David and Solomon. It's completely different. And you have to wonder, this does not fit into the theme of Chronicles, these two verses. So why are these two verses there? It's just an interesting prayer of Jabez. There's a lot of prayers we see in the Bible that are very important. Jabez's prayer is very, very specific in what he wants God to do. So who is Jabez? Jabez comes from Judah, Hur, Caleb. And you see that there is a mechanical rendering of who, begot who, and so on and so on. This king, that king, this king, on and on and on. But that little break that happens in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4. You think about Jabez. What's in a name? What's in a name? He was given the name Jabez by his mother. His mother was experiencing sorrow, or she had difficulty in birth. When he was born, there was a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of sorrow she experienced during that time. Jabez means he makes sorrow. Your name carries you through life. My dad used to always say, son, you need to protect your name because that's the only one you got. That's the only one you have. And when people think of you and think of your name and think, put a face with the name, what are they going to think of? I think it's very important to remember that, is what's in a name? We don't in America, we don't name children based on events. Like the American Indians, like Sitting Bull, all of these different Indian names. It's something that was related to the birth of that individual. In the Old Testament, they were given names based on something about who they were and about their mission and about their place. But we're not that. My name, Randall, means Prince of the Wolves. What does that mean? I just run with dogs, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's the reason why that dude loves me so much, Sarah. But my name was supposed to be George the Fourth. And Mom said, no more. We're stopping that. But anyway, our names are very significant. Can you imagine growing up with the name He Makes Sorrow? And just think about it. As Jabez is growing up, everybody knew him. Oh, there he is, old Jabez, the man of sorrow. Wherever he goes, he's just to bring sorrow to everything he gets involved in. And it's hard to avoid that when you're growing up, I imagine, in the family. But I like what the Bible says about Jabez. He says that he was a man who was honorable, more so than his brothers. He may have been a man who was named after sorrow because of what happened in his birth. But this speaks to his character. To be honorable is to be honest and dealing in all matters of life. Whether it's business, personal, family, whatever the situation is. The idea that he is honorable means that he was above reproach. He is credible. He is honest. But he's also sorry. And man of sorrow. What about his prayer? I love, you can even do a whole Bible study on the prayer of Jabez. There's all kinds of resources on that. But his prayer, you think, first off, he is an honorable man. We just mentioned that. But what I like about him, he does have a relationship with God. You think about it in the book of Chronicles, this is the only prayer that's mentioned to this degree. It's the only one that's very, very specific. He had to be a follower of God. He had to be a worshiper of God because it said that he called on the God of Israel. Because he had a relationship with God. He knew who God was. He knew where to go, and he knew all about how to pray and what to pray. So he called on the God of Israel. Jabez calls on God because he knew God. He had that relationship. He may have been called the man of sorrow, but he knew the source of his power and where he could find it, and that was in God. So what does he pray for? What does he pray for? Number one, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Bless me means make me happy. A man of whose name says is sorrowful is asking God to make me happy. People go around, that we throw that word around, well, I am blessed, and I am blessed, and this is blessed, and that is blessed. Blessed simply means to be happy. So when someone says, I am blessed, they're saying, I am happy. I am content. And that's what Jabez is asking for. He's saying, Lord, that you would bless me, that you would make me happy. So that the man of sorrow is asking just the opposite, to make him happy. Not to be a man of sorrow, but be a man that's happy. We need more people to be happy in life. Be satisfied. We got too many people walk around with sour looks on our faces as it is. We need to smile. We need to be happy. Number two, he says, enlarge my coast, or enlarge my territory. I'm sure Jabez was asking for more land and more property, physical land and physical property. He was looking to improve his status in life. The more land you've got, the more property you have, the higher you know people look at you differently. I imagine the man who has got the name Sorrow is probably at the bottom of the rung. He's probably not the top notch. He's not probably not up there with all the others, but he's a man who is of sorrow, and he wants God to extend his territory. Now, when you study the book of Jabez and you look at what Jabez is asking, when you pray this prayer, God, increase my territory, we as Christians are asking not for more land or for property, but we'll be asking for, God, I want to deal with more people. I want to be able to reach more people. I want to be able to share Jesus with more people around me. That's what's important to us as Christians, that I want my territory to be enlarged. I want my influence as Christians to be enlarged. The third thing he asked for, he says, that thine hand might be with me. You know, you think about your hands. There's several purposes that your hands serve. They work. They protect. They caress. They guide. They correct. And they bring comfort. Jabez is saying that your hand would help me in my labors that I face. God, I want your hand to be with me, because all the labor that I face, I want your hand to be with me. Give me the strength to face all of this. He goes on, and your hand would protect me from my enemies and those who would want to do me harm. Number four in your outline. Your hand to calm me when my fears increase. There's nothing that makes you feel better than when it's just that gentle touch of somebody around, putting their arm around you or just touching your shoulder, and it just seems like it brings a peace to us. It brings a little quiet to us. He says that your hand will guide my way so I may make wise decisions in life. God's hand to direct us and to guide us. He says, God, that your hand would correct me when, correct me with gentleness, but firm, to keep me on the right path. Sometimes we need that firmness and that correction from God to keep us where we need to be. Number four, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Not only is Jabez worried about evil that is all around him, he is also asking God that God would keep him from what? From doing evil. That Jabez is saying, God, I not only keep me from the evil that's around me, but keep me from doing evil. Keep me from being sinful. Keep me from stepping away from you. Keep me from harming those that I love and those that are around me and my influence. Or keep me from doing those sinful things that I slip into. Keep me from those things. Keep me from harming people. The fifth thing, he says, that it may not grieve me. Jabez understood that his sins will cause him pain. And that's the one thing that we constantly need to remember, that the reason why God doesn't want us to sin is because he knows what it does to us. He knows what it ultimately does to our hearts and our body and our mind and our spirit. He knows what happens to us. That's why God prefers that we not sin, because he knows what's going to happen to us. Jabez understands. He says, Lord, that I may not grieve. In other words, that I may not do something that I'm sorrowful for or that I regret that I've done. Sin can cause lots and lots of grief in our lives. It can cause us a lot of trouble when our sin goes unchecked. You can say that my sin doesn't hurt anybody, but you're dead wrong. Your sin will always hurt everybody around you. Adam and Eve could easily have said, I'm going to eat this fruit. It's not going to hurt anybody but me. Well, they were dead wrong. Because it's affected us even to this day. But your sins are like a ripple effect. It just continues to hurt people. And you have to be very, very careful, because it does hurt. And I love, God doesn't debate with him. God doesn't argue with him. God doesn't say you don't deserve it. God doesn't say you need to show me more. God doesn't say you need to jump through more hoops. God says, and God granted him that which he requested. Why? Because God is a loving God. He hears this request from a man who believes in God and makes an honest, heartfelt request. He makes it to God. And God says, okay. Okay, your heart is right. You've asked them, you know, I know your intentions are right. I know your intentions are good. I know this is what you want to do. I know you don't want to hurt anybody. You're tired of the sins. You're tired of the evil. I'll grant you this. I'll grant you this. There's nothing magical or mystical about this prayer. It's just a man who was just obedient to God, who asked for some things, and God granted it to him. So what are some takeaways? What can we take away from this? Number one, we need to remember that we have a God who is waiting, waiting, waiting and waiting for us to turn to him and to trust in him and to call out to him and to recognize that God is still here and God still listens and God still wants to do something in your life and in the lives around us. Out of our sorrow, out of our pain and joy and comfort, in all things, we can and should call out to God. Not just when we get face down in the mud, but we need to call out to God at all times and in all situations. Number two. So many people are looking to find happiness in everything else but God. We talked about that in our Sunday school class. That we look for happiness in everything else under the sun. But does that happiness last? No, it doesn't. We've all done things and said things and bought things and involved in things that just, they don't last. They don't last. Jabez knew that the blessing or happiness or joy had to come from God. And it had to come from that relationship he had with God. We have to come from a place when we realize peace can only come from God. True peace can only come from God. Not in things, not in stuff, not in this, not in that. It has to come from our relationship with God. Number three, seek God and ask God to enlarge your witness and influence. You know what we were talking about? He is asking that God to physically give him more land and more property. You and I can ask God to give us more witness and a greater influence around us. We will grow physically when we grow what? Spiritually. We have to grow spiritually first in our trust in God, in our trust in who God is, and in seeking Him, then our witness and our influence will grow. Oftentimes we care more about what a person can do for us instead of what we can do for them. We care about the wealth of a person or the influence of a person. That's not what God is asking us to do. So you are asking God, give me a better witness, give me more influence that I may be able to reach people for Jesus. The fourth thing, ask the same thing that Jabez asked for. God's hand protect me. God's hand guide me. God's hand caress me. God's hand comfort me. God's hand work and correct. Same thing. God, please correct me when I need to be corrected. God, please encourage me when I need to be encouraged. Please, God, give me the strength to work and do what you want me to do. Fifth thing. Seek to move toward God and far away from sin. We need to keep moving away from those things that are harmful and hurt us. I think a lot of times we go back to those things that are comfortable to us, that we understand, that bring, it may not even be, it's not good for us, it's not going to help us, but we go back to those things that are comfortable. That we know how it works. We know what to do. We know how to act in those situations. And so we feel comfortable. So we kind of slip back in that stuff that we know and feels comfortable. And it's going to hurt us. That's not going to draw us closer to God. It's going to pull us further away from God. Get me away from those things that are harmful and that are hurting me and causing me to hurt others. Number six, do your sins grieve you? Or do we just ignore it and go on? Say, that's just the way it is. My sins grieve me. When I know I've committed a sin or I've hurt somebody or I've said something, it may not immediately then, but there's something that eats at me called the Holy Spirit that tells me what I said was wrong, what I did was wrong, and how I treated somebody was wrong. Sins should grieve our hearts to the point that it doesn't drag us completely down. We just give it over to God. If your sins grieve you, you accept it, you recognize it, you give it to God, He forgives you, then you go on. Don't continue to beat yourself up. Once you turn it over to God, rejoice. Call for God's help and God will hear us. Number seven. God will honor a genuine, heartfelt prayer. He'll honor it. A true, heartfelt prayer. Who was Jabez? Jabez was me, and Jabez is you. He faced the same troubles, the same sorrows, but he knew what he had to do. And he took those things to God. And he gave it all up to God. You know, he's one, we've been talking about these improbable heroes. Jabez is a man of faith that you really don't think about. But in all of these kings and these kings and that king and all this espionage and all these things that happened, you have a man named Jabez that prayed a wonderful prayer from his heart and from the very depths of who he was. And God heard it and God honored it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the prayer of Jabez. We thank you for Jabez and his willingness to call out to you and ask you honestly with all of his heart what he should do and ask you to bless him. Father, we ask that you would bless us. Make us happy, Father. We too many Christians walk around sad and down and defeated, and we should not be. We should be rejoicing with what you've given us and who we are. Keep us from hurting others and keep others from hurting us, Father. Increase our influence and our witness that we might see people come to Mount Vernon Baptist Church and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, that's where we need to be. That's who we are, trying to seek and worship and honor and glorify you in all that we do. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.